Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
My name is Jeff Poulin, Arts Education Program Manager with Americans for the Arts, and I'm filling in for NAMM Foundation host, Mary Lurson. We just wrapped up a meeting of the newly formed Indiana Arts Education Network, and today's episode will discuss takeaways from this meeting and hopefully inspire you to get active in your state in support of music and arts education. We couldn't ask for a better backdrop to our discussion. Next door is the gathering spot for high school marching bands taking part in Bands of America Music for All Grand Nationals at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's once again a phenomenal example of music education programs that culminate in this national competition. I'd like to thank my guests for joining me today. Mark Goff, National Association for Music Merchants Chairman and President and CEO of Pages Music. Lane Velayo, Indiana Music Education Association Executive Director. And Ronnie Lau, National Association for Music Education Policy Advisor. A note that this monthly podcast will be available the last week of November. Please subscribe to Talking Up Music Education in iTunes or visit namfoundation.org/podcast and spread the word. Mark, first, tell us about Pages Music.
Hi, Jeff. Pages Music is a school music retailer in Indiana. We serve about 450 school music programs around the state of Indiana. So we provide band and orchestra instruments, accessories, rentals, repairs to about 50,000 students in Indiana who participate in school band and orchestra. We were founded in 1871, so we're one of the oldest music retailers in the country. We've gone through four generations of Page family ownership, and I bought the business in 1999 and now run the business along with about 55 full-time employees here in Indiana.
Wow, that's great. 1871, that's quite some time. So I understand for about 18 months you've been working on a new project here. Can you tell us a little bit about the Indiana Arts Education Network, how it got started, and what your progress has been so far?
Sure. We started with a small steering committee, Lane with IMEA, Matt Carter from Visit Indy, John Whitman from Yamaha, and Mike Kampeis from Conn-Selmer. We got together about 18 to 20 months ago and started the process of talking about how we could build a group that would meet the, what I call an evergreen issue. As long as I've been in the industry, I've been presented just about every year with the latest crisis of the moment from music educators. And so we wanted to put together a group that would meet that challenge on an evergreen basis. So we started talking, like I said, almost 2 years ago, and deciding how we would go about that. We spent quite a bit of time kind of developing our plan. And then about 6 months ago, we were presented with the opportunity to work with this new partnership with NAMM, with Americans for the Arts, and with NAFME. And that has really propelled us to another level. So the Indiana Arts Education Network was born actually in August of this year, August 2016. And we came together and put together our vision, our mission, and objectives. I'll share just briefly those. Our vision for the network is for every Indiana child to reach their full potential so they will be equipped to lead successful lives and help make Indiana the best place in the country to live and work. And our mission is to ensure that every Indiana student has reliable access to a well-rounded education that includes music and the arts. And how we go about accomplishing that mission is by establishing an effective state-level advocacy organization, developing and maintaining positive relationships with people who have influence over education policy and funding and implementation. And then our next steps will be to develop the same thing at the district level. So Our goal is to develop a kind of a fine-tuned network of people who are passionate about music and arts education that can work together at the state level and then can also develop that same level of advocacy support at the district level.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work, but exciting work. So what would you say are the top few must-dos to get this type of state-level advocacy effort going?
First of all, call Mary Lurson. Actually, you know, it's about the people that you partner with. And so we've been really fortunate to partner with Mary at NAM, as well as you, Jeff, at Americans for the Arts and NAFME as well. But I'd say probably the first thing and the most important thing to do is just get started. You know, there's a lot of, I would call, pent-up demand for someone to take the lead in this type of organization. As we developed our network and we started reaching out to people, we found many, many people who are willing to come together and work with us and who were desiring that to happen. But nobody who had taken the lead to kind of pull it all together. So just getting started, I think, is the most important thing to begin with. And start small. You know, don't try to overreach. You know, start with what you have and work with that and then let it grow organically, which is what we've done. And after about 2 years, we've gone from a steering committee of 5 people meeting fairly regularly to now we are an organization of about 40 to 45 people that are people from business, people from education, people from local arts-related organizations, nonprofits from all around the state of Indiana who are coming together now for our second meeting to work on developing good, steady, long-term state level and district level advocacy skills.
So what's next? What type of plans do you have for the future for the coalition?
Well, we've been working specifically on the state level implementation of ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, the new federal education bill that was passed in, I believe, December of 2015. So it's being implemented now at the state level. And so we're in the middle of the time period where state departments of education are deciding how they're going to go about implementing it. So we're participating in that process. We started with our first meeting in August, which ended up having all of our organization participating in one of the 9 ESSA listening tour activities that happened around the state of Indiana. So we were represented at each of those gatherings. Our next steps will be to continue that feedback to the Department of Education and the governor's office as ESSA rolls through implementation for the next few months. And then we're also planning on having an Arts Education Advocacy Day at the Indiana State House in March. So that's several things that we're working on.
That's great. So what about for people who are looking to get into this? What resources were helpful for you, or what would you suggest for others who are looking to get into this type of work?
Well, again, I wouldn't recommend that they contact Mary Lurson at NAM. She was very helpful in helping to steer us through the early stages. And this partnership that has come together between NAM, Americans for the Arts, and NAFME is really critical in providing support for state-level advocacy. So there are many, many organizations around the country that are starting to do this. Also, I believe at the NAM website, there is a Issues and Advocacy tab on the NAM website, which also shows different state-level organizations that are participating in this. So there's lots of places to reach out, but I would start with NAM.
Great. Thanks so much, Mark. And Lane, I understand you've been with this group since the beginning. So first, tell us a little bit about the Indiana Music Education Association and some of the things that you guys do here for music teachers in the state of Indiana.
Sure, Jeff. Thanks so much. First, you know, it's a big thank you to you and to NAM and NAFME for providing such a high level of expertise in advising us as we move forward in growing this advocacy network. So I think that is important. The Indiana Music Education Association, we really really work to ensure that every Indiana learner has the opportunity to learn, grow, and play through a well-rounded education that includes music. We do that through a lot of different things. We provide professional development for our music educators. We do a lot of co-curricular programming, and we advocate. So this opportunity to work with Mark and all of our partners has been just great for us to continue building out all of the resources that we need to ensure that all of our students are provided for.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting to have an association of teachers with a music business and Pages Music. So is there that type of relationship, or can you describe the connection between music education and the music industry here in the state of Indiana?
I think it's always been a very positive relationship, at least from my history. And we see that everywhere from the district level, when Mark is sending his folks out to meet with district corporations and band directors, they recognize the relationship that they have to build. And that continues to sort of funnel its way up. So we see that at the state level, where we're partnering regularly with music businesses because everybody brings something to the table. And you know, it doesn't hurt that NAFME and NAM have such a great relationship at the national level, because it acts as a real role model system for us to look at through the Support Music Coalition and say, what are these organizations doing at the national level? They all recognize that they have something to bring to the table that's very positive. And what can we do to model that so that in Indiana we are being effective and we are creating the awareness that we need to create about the value of music and the arts in schools?
Great. So what is the advocacy plan then for the state in the coming months? Mark said it's a in-between time. So what's going on?
Despite the fact that it's an in-between time, I think this is a crucial period for us. And we spent a lot of time in this most recent meeting talking about a lot of the changes that are going on, not just at the federal level, but at the state level. So we've just recently completed an election. We have a lot of new members of the administration that will spend a lot of time just building awareness, creating relationships, and talking about the educational policies that we need to talk about that are the most pressing. So in a lot of education right now, it's the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, and that implementation period is going through right now, and we need to be as active as possible while still doing all of the foundational things to make sure that this advocacy network is long-lasting and evergreen, as Mark said before.
Absolutely. Are there ways to leverage, you know, existing things like Music in Our Schools Month or Make Music Day or National Arts and Education Week as part of that plan?
As I said before, I think every one of our partner organizations brings something positive to the table. And it's about being as open to incorporating all of those things, leveraging our abilities and what we can do to make sure that we have as high a level of an awareness and an advocacy force as possible.
So what strategies then do you use in this regular upkeep of advocacy work? Are there resources for other people that they might look at when kind of engaging in music and arts education advocacy?
Yeah, and in our meeting today, it was great to learn about all of the different tools that so many of our partner organizations have, whether it is NAM and the resources they provide through their foundation, as well as the dealer network that exists within the state, to NAFME and the toolkits they provide to the states and the educators that we work with on a regular basis, and the local corporation connections that they bring, all the way to the local corporations and the models that they're using that we can begin to tap and role model for all of the other school corporations throughout the entire state of Indiana. I think that there's a lot of opportunity. It's about being open to it and being aware that those possibilities exist so that we are not constantly just recreating the wheel. Instead, we are leveraging everything that is already being done towards the greater good.
Absolutely. So both Mark and Lane, where do you see the future of the Indiana Arts Education Network, say in 3 to 5 years?
Well, I'd love to see us in 3 to 5 years being having a cohesive group of people that are regularly doing advocacy at the state level. And when I mean regularly, you know, advocacy is simply about building relationships and sharing information with people who have influence. And so it's not something that we do once and then it's done. It's something that we have to do over and over and over again. And particularly the most important part of that is building relationships. So I would love to see us at the state level developing and maintaining strong relationships with all of those key people at the state level, whether it be at the governor's office or the Department of Education or the education committee members in the House and the Senate. those are important relationships that we need to put in place and keep in place so that when issues arise, we don't have to introduce ourselves. We already know who the people are, and we have the ability to get right to the heart of the matter. I'd like to see us do that, and then also do that at the district level. So I don't know the exact number of districts in the state of Indiana, but there are, you know, Lane?
Don't put me on the spot.
Yeah, sorry. There's a bunch. But my goal is to see the Indiana Arts Education Network have that same thing that I just described at the state level happening at every district in the state of Indiana, which means having local parents, businesses, educators, community members, nonprofits, developing those relationships at the district level with school board members, with elected officials, so that when the issues come up of challenges with funding for arts education, that we're already there. We know the issues are going to come up. They've come up in the past, they're come up now, and they're going to come up in the future. Like I said earlier, this is an evergreen issue, and it needs to be met with an evergreen solution. So the goal is to have this organization perpetually be in the state of building, maintaining relationships at the state and the district level.
Great.
I think Mark brings it up extremely well. It's about having a large group of people that are impassioned and empowered to speak up about music and the arts in our schools. So whether that is the Indiana Arts Education Network and all of the tools that it brings through the partnerships that we've created in doing that state level and district level advocacy, I think it's also about empowering all of those partners that we are working with so that they feel comfortable in doing the advocacy work in representing their own organizations, so that there is this constant drip of advocacy that is going out to our state legislators, that is going out to the governor, that is going out to those school corporations with at least the base message of music and the arts in our schools is extremely important to us as voters, as taxpayers, as people that are mindful about where our communities can and should be now and into the future.
That's great. So thanks for sharing that snapshot of what's happening here in Indiana. And I'll turn to Ronnie. And on behalf of the National Association for Music Education, you're involved with state music education associations and various advocacy efforts across the country. So what's happening around the country relative to the ESSA transition they were speaking about before?
So actually quite a lot. So, you know, one of the beautiful things about ESSA is really the flexibility portion of this law. How it was intended for the law is to really leave back to the districts, leave back to the states to make these key decisions to what meets best with what's going on. So as we saw with Indiana right here with the Arts Education Association, we see how they coalesce together and how they're all grouping together and really working together to create one single message across. I mean, you look at our state affiliates over in North Carolina, they're partnering with the State Department to really do a survey request right now to really see what the really big needs are in music and arts education right now within their state. And they've also partnered with their North Carolina Parent Teachers Association and created a great partnership through that. Our affiliates in Alabama have a member, part of CDAE, which is the State Education Agency Directors of Arts Education, and they create a very vital role through that. And in Pennsylvania, they recently conducted an interview with their State Secretary of Education and completely devoted on ESSA implementation. So you'll see so many different types of methods that are unique to what they have and unique to kind of the connections that they have been building for this kind of situation, and it hopefully leads to a positive change.
Absolutely. So what should music and arts education advocates across the country be doing now? What are the most effective or important talking points in the next few months regarding ESSA implementation as it's reviewed by the states?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the biggest things I really implore all music advocates, all music educators to visit the NAFME website and take a look at under Take Action, our website, there's a tab called Everything ESSA, and it houses resources not only from us and analysis, but things from the Department of Education that they've released that are guidance and suggestions and rules and regulations, things that our partners have released from NAM and AFTEA and AFTA, and just all a culmination of really good information that you guys can use to understand the law and become really good experts on it. But one of the biggest things that they have to do is really educate the people around them, the other educators within their district and the people that they partner with on a day-to-day basis. Also the administrators that are around in the area and their principals and making sure they understand the law. Often we have so many conversations that we talk to our membership and our teachers that they're teaching more to their administrators and principals and they're receiving the information from the State Department or from the Federal Department of Education. So they're really actually doing a service to them, and it continues to build this two-way relationship between the educator and the administrator, and not only for better for the implementation of ESSA, but betterment for their relationship between each other.
Right. So you mentioned the U.S. Department of Education, and I know your team closely monitors what the department pushes out as regulations as they're being developed. So what regulations have been released that are cause for optimism, or what are the ones that are cause for concern?
Sure. And so far, the Department of Education has released three primary things. They released their Title I supplement, not supplant rules. They've released their state accountability regulations and non-regulatory guidance for Title IV Part A of ESSA. All of these we've conducted analysis of, and you can all find this on our website also as well on how this affects music and arts education particularly. But for the most part, most of them have been pretty benign. They've been not bad, but not great at the same time. So NFME has been really incredibly involved in making sure that we submit comments and creating this open dialogue that's been happening between us and making sure they understand that, you know, there needs to be a language that consistent perception of music and arts education is part of a well-rounded education. And that language is not excluded from their guidance and regulations. Ultimately, this is what guides the states to build their state plans and what their districts do in their needs assessment process. And we really want to make sure that they don't forget about that. And we want to make sure that we always have the seat at the table for music and arts education.
So in summary, what resources would you recommend that state or local advocates check out during this ESSA transition period? And, you know, what are those big issues that they should monitor?
The Everything ESSA page is an absolutely essential resource. Again, we provide so many great things on there, but one thing I want to particularly point out is our ESSA implementation toolkit. It pretty much goes through every single bit of the new Every Student Succeeds Act bill of where well-rounded education is specifically mentioned within the bill, and it isolates what's the opportunity at hand for music and arts education and what exactly an educator or a state administrator would have to do to receive funding or formulate and ask for that when they submit their state plans. I believe that's a very resourceful tool, and I think that will definitely propel the conversation a lot forward. But I also really implore people to stay in touch with what's going on in a national aspect. This is the first time we've had a new education law passed in over a decade, and you know, sometimes we forget that there needs to be appropriations and how much funding gets associated with these new authorized programs as part of ESSA. So as of right now, Congress is still trying to anticipate for the new fiscal year about what the funding levels for these new programs are, including Title IV, which is such an important program, this wide, flexible block grant that we really enjoy that creates so much flexibility to create further access for music and arts education. And it's currently, unfortunately, in a bad state. The block grant was authorized for $1.65 billion, and the propositions right now are about a fifth of that from both sides of the House and the Senate, respectively. So unfortunately, you know, we want people to stay in touch, and you can go to our NAFME Grassroots Action Center. It's a great resource and tool also of how to get involved on a national scale. Currently, right now, you can write a letter to Congress, and it takes about 5 minutes just to advocate for this program within itself. So we have a lot of resources on our website, and I definitely implore everyone to go take a look at all of them.
Great. Thanks so much, Ronnie. So to all three of you, Mark, Lane, and Ronnie, what are your final thoughts? What's one recommendation for music and arts education advocates for the months ahead? Mark, let's start with you.
Well, I think I would just recommend that if you have a passion about this, that you get involved and get started. You don't have to be the expert in all areas. That's one thing that I found in this process is that I don't know all of the detailed policy issues, but I can partner with people who do. And so I've played the role of convening, you know, gathering the group together and trying to help lead the charge. And I've relied on other people to do other things. So I think the important thing is it takes a lot of different skill sets to get this done. And if you're feeling like, you know, you don't have those, so you can't do it, you can. You can get started and you can find the people that have those skill sets that you lack to help you get through it. So advocacy is not that difficult. It's really just simply about being passionate about something, getting up to speed on it, and sharing that information with people who need to hear it. And it's not that tough. So get out and give it a try.
Great. Thanks, Lane.
I would say that it all starts with relationships. So from the IMEA perspective, it's about building relationships with all of those stakeholders and being open to that relationship. So, you know, we've had a great previous relationship with Mark and Pages because they are such great supporters of music education, as are all of the members of NAMM that are based in Indiana. But it was that relationship that started those conversations, which led to, we need to do more for advocacy and focus on those relationships, be open to them, be open to the partnerships, because we can accomplish so much more if we're bringing everybody to the table, leveraging the strengths and capabilities that we each have as organizations and pushing that forward. Is it easy? We spent 18 to 20 months just talking about and planning it. So it's not an easy process per se, but when you get everybody in the room and you're comfortable about it, then at least the conversations are honest, frank, and make for a stronger foundation when those actions do take place.
Great, thanks. Ronnie?
I just want to, I guess, more reiterate that, you know, we hear the saying all the time about how politics is local, and it cannot be more than true than that. Everything always starts back at the grassroots and at home. Often we forget that the people who represent us in office, whether it be at a state level or a local level or a national level, they're the ones that need us to do their jobs correctly. And you know, we always like to advocate, as Park said earlier, that advocacy is not that hard. We really implore just continuing being strength in numbers, and sometimes it doesn't take very much. And it's great that we have a music education. Sometimes advocacy work is just emotionally based, and music and arts education is very emotionally based, and sometimes that's the most compelling kind of argument that you can bring. You know, so I may be the policy expert, but often, you know, we need the emotional side as part of the argument that we need to make a successful case in what we do for a day-to-day basis. And definitely it's a two-pronged way, and it's a great partnership to pursue.
Well, this has been a really great conversation. I want to thank our guests, Mark Goff, Ronnie Lau, and Lane Velayo, for your leadership, your ideas, and your inspiration. Please remember to subscribe to Talking Up Music Education by visiting namfoundation.org/podcast. And if you like what you hear, share with your social network. Be sure to visit namfoundation.org to sign up to receive their monthly newsletter, which comes out at the end of every month. I'm Jeff Poulin, and on behalf of Mary Larson and the team at the NAMM Foundation, thanks for joining us for this special episode of Talking Up Music Education.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary LNAMM.